Today, Craig Tuck, Charleston Association Director of Missions, and myself, Richard Odom, with the Screven Baptist Association, we have a video for you today that we want you to take an opportunity to review. But what we want to do is maybe pull out a couple of high points that we believe you can find in this video, while we believe the whole video is of value to you. A couple of things, Craig, that I picked up as we were listening to the mayors of Charleston and Somerville, the chief of police there in Charleston, and the sheriff of Berkeley County, and Curtis Bostic, an attorney there in Charleston. I think the great advice that we heard was pretty consistent. It may be permissible, but is it the wisest thing for you to do to begin to gather back together? I think we picked up clearly that we're still under social distancing regulations.
That's right.
And I just want to bring out one thing that that our law enforcement put together for us, just three basic words to kind of help us understand some things we need to be thinking through as churches as we begin to come back together. They talked about having organization in place.
Yeah.
That organization would be your planning process. Craig and I both have posted numerous articles and interviews on the associational webpages for the pastors to begin to look at, that it's not going to be a matter of turning the lights on and unlocking
That's
the
right.
door. There's got to be some organizational things considered, and I'll let you speak more to that. But we also talked about application. So otherwise, an organizational plan without an applicational plan is
That's right.
really of no value.
That's right.
So I have this great org chart on the wall, but I have no idea how to apply that. And so they talked about being able to have an organization in place, an applicational plan, followed with the actual implementation of it. You know, I know from my own experience, both in secular as well as in ministry, I think too often we put applicational processes in place, but we never put an implementation inspection behind that.
Yeah.
I've heard often that what you expect, you inspect.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we expect people to honor the social distancing and we expect people to be safe, and we want our children safe and our senior adults safe, I mean, and all of our people, but our most vulnerable, then how are we inspecting that?
That's right.
So that's what I walked away with from the videos today.
Yeah, I agree that there's got to be a good plan. In fact, that's one thing that we've talked about. So this week is about a general consultation from leaders that have the qualified voices to speak into. Next week, we're going to do some more of the pragmatics on the how-to. It's kind of like you go to a YouTube video and say, okay, how do I fix this thing, you know? So we're going to do some pragmatic consultations next week. But this week is really more about, let's get the overview. Let's hear from these qualified voices. And something I heard from our mayors was the fact of the idea of assembly. When the city looks at our churches, they think of the idea of assembly in a similar way they'd think of a concert gathering or a sporting event gathering, because they're a larger gathering that's going to meet on some kind of frequency. And so both of them today, I picked up, Richard, is that they both were saying it may be permissible to come back in within the guidelines of the CDC, spatial distancing and all those things. But they really strongly recommended, I thought, they came across strong to say it's just not the right time.
Right.
Especially while there's a shelter in place, order in place, which could be renewed every 15 days without any vote from the assembly there in the Capitol. So I think that's one thing to gauge. And that's one thing I try to emphasize, to say, hey, every leader is trying to drive with their own dashboard.
Right.
Like, what are the gauges that you're looking at? How fast can I go to reenter? How do I make sure the gauges of temperature is right from the standpoint, am I ready with a plan? And so I really feel like when you watch this video, you take the time in each of the segments that you'll see that are allotted by time and by index to take a time and listen to these pieces of information. The mayors will help give you kind of the spirit of the law. And I think the chief and the sheriff, and particularly Curtis Bostic, right. Boy, they'll give you a little bit more detail of the objective of saying, okay, if I were you, here's what I'd be saying and asking myself. And so I think this is going to be very helpful as a start for you to look at your dashboard and say, okay, what are the gauges on the dashboard, and how do I begin to regulate and think about what are the things that are going to help me make these informed decisions going forward? it's kind of like bookends. There's an aspect of, again, what's lawful and rightful, listening to those governing authorities. And then on the other side is what's responsible. And what we've got to define in the middle is what's reasonable for right now. And so the one thing we can't be, I think, Richard, you and I heard this, we cannot be impulsive.
Right.
Do you feel the pressure that, I mean, there's a desire for us to want to get back.
Right.
Everyone's tired. We're weary of being sheltering in place. But we can't be reckless. We've got to be very, very careful. There's going to be an undue pressure for that. And I tell you, I heard it, I think, almost from everybody, especially those who are older, who are more susceptible to getting an infection.
Exactly.
We've got to protect them.
Exactly.
We steward them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was very helpful to hear from them today.
Absolutely. And just a final word to our pastors. Guys, we love you. We feel the pressure you're under. We truly do. But I think opening without an organization, an application, and that plan of implementation, without opening with the best advice, it could cause more problems than benefit. And that's our goal, is to try to give you the best information. And both of us are here for you. We're a phone call away.
Yeah.
So listen to the video, follow up with us or the ones on the call, and let us help you or them help you to make the best choices in the best time.
That's right. Next two consultations are going to be on health and safety, hearing from medical professionals, even those that are working with some of the infectious diseases around our area. And then secondly is going to be on logistics. And we're going to have voices that are going to speak into how to begin to look at phasing back in. And so be sure to listen to the next two consultations coming up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being a part of this conversation today. This is our first conversation as we look at really helping our churches here in the greater Charleston area to have the best information from local voices, local qualified voices here in greater Charleston. And Richard Odom and I are really delighted to be a part of this today. Together, our associations of churches represent about 140 churches in the area. And so as we are in a process of making very important decisions, we wanted to first start where really the scripture leads us as churches into the passage of Romans 13 that says, be subject to governing authorities. And so basically what our goal is over the really next few consultations is to cover three areas. One is, first of all, what's rightful? And that is, how do we be subject as churches, as citizens, gathering together freely to worship? How do we make sure that we're under the direction and guidance of those who lead us and lead us well? And how do we support that with a full heart? So that's one thing. The second thing is, how do we do things that are responsible? And that is, how do we begin to re-enter into gathering as an assembly, as churches, in making good decisions in the right steps and phases? And we're going to hear from some church leaders on that at another time. And then the other area is, how do we think now in a new way with our space as it relates to health? How do we think about the church? In fact, now we're introducing a third S. For a long time as churches, our conversation was safety and security, and that will continue to be the case. Now we're gonna add a third S, which is sanitation. Who would have thought that that would be one of those things that would rise to the top and become a new protocol? But it is, and it's where we are as a world, as a country, as a state, as a city. So we're so thankful today to start with this consultation under the banner of the idea of legal, those who are over us, authority. And we've got some great folks that are with us today I want to introduce to you. First, I'm very thankful to have the Honorable Mayor of Charleston and the Honorable Mayor of Somerville, Honorable Mayor John Tecklenburg of Charleston, the Honorable Mayor of Somerville, Keith Waring. Grateful to have those leaders here with us today. We're also glad to have law enforcement leaders with us today. Grateful to have Dwayne Lewis, who's the Berkeley County Sheriff. Also delighted to have Police Chief Luther Reynolds for the city of Charleston. And then we're also delighted to have on this call today a friend of mine and a friend of our church's, attorney Curtis Bostick, who has been so helpful in many different ways to help churches just think through things so that, again, we're abiding by what God has put in front of us, both the law that's in the land and the law that's in the word. And I appreciate the way he helps just bring those two things together. So I want to thank all of you for being a part of this today. Grateful for it. Again, the objective for us is that we want to provide information by your voices speaking into some questions with us so we can help our churches and provide perspective from you to serve our churches as they begin to put together their re-entry plans. and phases for regathering. We both have sensed a shift in the conversation with our churches, and that is anytime the governor does an update, we begin to hear about something else kind of being opened or at least being relaxed a little bit. Well, our churches are leaning forward saying, when can we meet again? And we're saying, let's be patient. Let's be careful. And so, Richard, we're going to go through some key areas today. Why don't you share those with us that we're going to cover?
Okay. You know, as Craig and I have been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, about the importance of trying to inform, we began to talk about the different topics. You know, one of the first things that we'll say, 28 years for myself of ministry, I've never seen anything like this. And so I'm asked all the time what the next step is. And my answer all the time is, I'll tell you when we get there. Because we don't have the answers, and we recognize the ones on the call don't have the answers. But we also recognize collectively, I think we can give some wisdom that they need. And one of the things we've talked to our churches about, we need wisdom because our witness has got to be held up. And so we're wanting to come to you today. The things that we're wanting to look at today, first of all, is information and updates from our civic leaders. We want to give you an opportunity, each of you, to give us an update of what you're hearing and the information you feel like we need as churches. And we have a few questions in the end that we'll follow up with that. But we also want to talk to our police chief. It's an honor to have you, sir, and the sheriff. It's an honor to have you. Being a former law enforcement officer myself, I recognize that there's a partnership between our law enforcement officers and our churches, and we want to be good partners. And so we want to talk to you about how we can be effective at that. And so that's in the enforcement area. And then Curtis was good enough to join us today to talk about the legal aspects, because we recognize that it's not as simple as turning on the lights and bringing everybody back. There's some things we need to consider. And so that is our goal in this conversation today. I know Craig has said it. I want to echo it. We are so appreciative for each of you taking your time and giving that to us today for the benefit of our churches, that we may be able again to have the wisdom we need to be the witness that God calls us to be. And so you're very much part of that, and we're appreciative for that.
That's great. Well, let's move right into the area of information. Mayor Tecklenburg and Mayor Waring, we thank you for your time today. And I know when the governor gives an announcement, I know there's a point of interpretation that has to take place between his office and your office. So would love to hear from you. I know yesterday we just heard about the extension of the sheltering in place. And so speak to us a little bit about how you're giving some advice and counsel, and in speak in particular with the church in mind, the context of the local church.
Mayor Waring, would you like to go first, or?
I'll let you go ahead and go first, since your city is a little bit bigger than mine.
Well, Mayor, it's good to be with you, and Sheriff, and Curtis, and Chief, thank y'all, and Richard and Craig, for asking us to be with you for a little bit here this afternoon. And if I may just turn the clock back just a little bit, and Richard, you're right. This is just an unprecedented time. There was no instruction manual on how to operate during a pandemic, right? And but we've been listening to our healthcare professionals all along the way to try to guide us, because at the end of the day, the goal is for everyone to be healthy and well and safe. Public safety was really driving all these decisions that have been unfolding, and then when I heard reports along the way, such as how contagious this virus happens to be, it's pernicious. And if you're unlucky enough to catch the virus, if you happen to have an underlying health condition, it attacks those weak points. And that's why you see, as of today, Curtis, almost over 56,000 people in the United States have died in the last 6 weeks. We're now approaching the number of fatalities from the Vietnam War over a 10-year period. Think about that. And it's just occurred in the last 6 weeks. So the virus can be really deadly and dangerous. And along the way, I saw the report of this choir deciding to have a rehearsal out in California, and 80 people got together, and no one appeared to be symptomatic. And yet, 2 weeks later, over half of those individuals that were at that choir practice had come down with coronavirus in a similar way, which was really scary, and why I've been so focused on trying to keep Charleston from becoming a hot spot. The town or the small city of Albany, Georgia, became a hot spot. And I'm told it was just because of a one funeral event, which a lot of citizens attended, a very well-attended funeral, that caused the spread in that one city. So being careful has been so important about the spread of this virus. And that's why the city of Charleston came forward to have its stay-at-home ordinance that we passed about a month ago. And then, of course, the governor followed up, had a statewide stay-at-home work order, which he renewed yesterday, basically because he's only allowed by state law to do 15 days at a time without the legislative approval, and they're not even meeting right now. So he basically just renewed his order because it was about to run out, and whether he'll keep it for the full 15 days or change it before then, that remains to be seen. So in the city's ordinance a month ago, and stop me if I'm carrying on too long, we were respectful of the need for ministry to continue to occur. And Governor McMaster's order likewise specifically allowed for church services to occur with distancing. And so, to be honest with you, there's been nothing, quote, illegal about having a church service as long as you were spacing people apart and distancing. Now, having said that, it's been my highest recommendation that not just churches, but gatherings of any kind during this period where we're trying to keep Charleston from becoming a hotspot, that folks thoughtfully and responsibly refrain from having gatherings. I just think it's been shown that it leads to the spread of the virus. So it's not that it's been illegal if you did it in a certain fashion, but I do believe wholeheartedly that the responsible, healthy thing to do was to hold off from having gatherings until we learn more about the virus, ultimately to be, 100% safe until we have good treatment and a vaccine. But there are ways to safely gather, and we're figuring all that out also a little bit as we go, but continuing to listen to healthcare professionals and others that advise not only us, but the state and the country. We're moving forward. It's going to be a step at a time, but I really think two of the last things that will be considered fully open is the call or the urging of folks who are elderly and who have underlying health conditions. Asking them to stay at home as long as possible is a good thing, number one. And number two, having large gatherings. And yes, that would include a church gathering, particularly if you're not distancing properly. That those will be the last things that kind of get reopened, if you want to use that expression. And so I probably carried on too long, but that's kind of my perspective of where we are right now.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very much. Mayor Waring.
Thank you all very much. Thanks, Matt Tecklenburg. Good to see you today, and thank you, law enforcement guys. I know you all have been having a hard time. I've been kind of locked up here in City Hall, so I've been pretty safe. The law enforcement guys have been on the street, and all your people. I know you got to be careful, and thanks for what you do. Thank y'all for what you're doing, having us on today. You know, it's a learning experience for all of us. I don't care if you're 5 years old, you're 100 years old. None of us have lived through this before. I've been in public safety for 50 years. And, you know, this is something that we all just taking one step at a time, because we all learning about it each day. There's nothing I can really say that Mayor Tecklenburg hadn't said. You know, probably the worst thing that we would have to deal with as far as reopening as places of public assembly. There's just no way we can really control that and still meet the governor's specifications as far as, you know, trying to stay back 6 feet and meet his regulations. I was told all my life to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. My mom told me that till we got married, and then my wife's told me that ever since. So, you know, it's hard to believe. Somerville's a church town, and you ride through Somerville on Sunday morning now, and nobody's at the churches, and it is a strange thing to see. So, you know, all of us want to see the churches, you know, back, people back in churches on Sunday morning. It's nothing that any of us want to see rather than that. But, you know, it's just something that's going to have to take a while probably before that happens. There's just no way to control it. As good as church people are, we don't have to worry about them not listening, but it's just not something that can really happen because of the way churches are built and the way people sit together and worship together. I don't see that happening anytime soon. Even if the governor lifts his order, we've just got to be real careful as to how we do that when we go back to church and go back to football games and anywhere where there's a place for public assembly, it's going to be the toughest thing for us to handle. Our law enforcement personnel certainly would need them in church, but it's those will be the things that it will be the last thing probably that we'll tackle. And it's unfortunate when we talk about our churches, because we all want to go to church. But I think that, you know, Mayor Tecklenburg was the first one to jump up and say, okay, we're gonna close down. And he was ahead of the governor. And thank goodness Charleston has been saved by that. We were right behind the governor and stuck behind everything the governor said. With this pandemic, I've gotten a ton of calls from people that want to open back up, critical, being very critical. But I've gotten just as many calls with people saying, you know, stick to your guns, do what you're doing. You know, we don't want this thing to get any worse. So, you know, when you weigh them all out, it's about a 50-50. So we're going to continue to do what the governor's asking us to do. We monitor it every day. Most people are abiding by our rules, and that's a good thing. You know, we've had a few little minor problems, but nothing serious, thank goodness. And so we continue to pray, and that's one good thing about, you know, you don't have to go to church to pray.
That's right.
And I don't mind telling you, I've done a lot of praying lately. I'm a praying man anyway, but I've prayed a lot, not knowing anything about this disease that we all facing, but praying for everybody, you know, around the world, and certainly in the United States and here at home. But, you know, it's a great thing y'all doing today. we want to help any way we can when time comes for us to open our churches back up. I would be the first one here in Somerville to help any way I can do that safely. Like you're talking, there's certainly a three-step, maybe a full-step way of doing it when we get ready to do it. And we got a good group of staff members here with our town that our police department, fire department, parks and recreation that can help with anything we need to do the day we decide to open our churches back up. Everybody will be on hand to help. But I think that's going to be a little ways down the road. In the meantime, we'll continue to tackle this thing one day at a time and pray that it gets over with, as fast as we can get through it. And come out on the better side stronger. That's what we're known to do in America. And I pray we can do that, that when this thing's over, we'll be stronger on the other side.
That's great. That's great.
If I could just follow up very quickly to either of the mayors, maybe an idea of any protocols that you're thinking. You mentioned, Mayor, three, maybe four. Is there something that our churches could start doing now to start getting ready to reemerge? And so maybe it's something you're telling businesses or restaurants that they need to be thinking about. And again, I don't want to take a lot of your time, but if there's something that you can think of that our pastors could benefit from, that could be an advance that they could be working on now to be getting ready when you let us know that you feel like it's safer for us to do that. So just either one might could speak to that.
I could just offer that last week, City Council passed an adjunct to Governor's reopening of some retail stores to specify some of the guidelines of the CDC and DHEC and making sure that it's done in a safe fashion. And again, we weren't making these things up. We were going to the healthcare professionals. The CDC has lots of guidelines. I guess thus far we focused on retail since that's what was kind of reopening first. If you go to their literature and guidelines, they have a lot of excellent information, but clearly distancing, hygiene, sanitation, the use of masks, even 6 feet apart, all those kinds of things that we've all been talking about. It's all out there. And I think you're going to have to, I believe you're going to have to, if you want to open responsibly, look at those kinds of measures and have them in place so that people have the assurance and the confidence that they're getting together safely. But I can't stress enough, even when you get to that point, I'd be real careful in asking the elderly, those who have underlying health conditions, they ought to stay at home longer. And I don't know how long that is yet, but I'll give you an example. Even in our own workforce, and we're not invading in anybody's privacy, we're asking them to come forward and self-identify themselves if they've got an underlying health condition. I don't want them to be in contact with the public right now if they've got a heart condition or diabetic. I want to put them in a place where they'll be safe. And so it could almost be a part of a future. I know a lot of churches have an outreach ministry to the elderly. Also to outreach to those who have health disparities or have these health conditions that put them more at risk, to have some extra ministerial attention or program focused on them, not to ask them to come back to church when everybody else does, but to have a special care and concern and love for them that keeps them safe and alive.
That's good. One thing I was thinking about too, this is for all of you to speak to in light of this, is it's kind of like a church operating a car and looking at the dashboard and the gauges. Some churches want to go faster. Some want to go slower. Some are watching the thermometer gauge go up and down. What are the gauges that our churches should really be paying attention to? Obviously, our governor, our municipalities and their restrictions that are given. But what are the things? I know we mentioned about department stores and the percentages of folks being allowed in, the distancing. Both mayors mentioned the idea of assembling together. So is there going to be, at some point down the road, this opening of assembling, not just for church gatherings, which is a larger gathering, or for those who can go out to a park or a concert or to a theater or whatever? Is that forthcoming, do you see, in the future? So any of you can speak to that, if you would. Just give some counsel. If you'd said, hey, church, if I were you, I'd be watching these gauges and listening to these things about how you calibrate your speed and watch all of the critical pieces on your dashboard.
I think that, you know, I mentioned places of assembly when talking about churches. I think my thoughts are that any place of assembly, whether it be a concert or any place of assembly like you're mentioning, is something that's got to be, those will be the last things that open. I feel sure that the governor or the mayors of the different cities are going to be real slow to let those things happen, because that's a big congregation of people that we don't want to happen. You know, because that's how, like the mayor said earlier, you know, a funeral to cause a town like we mentioned, Albany, Georgia, to be a hot spot because of the funeral. The funeral is usually not a large assembly, but it can be, you know, if it's a well-known person. But to stop and think that, you know, that a town the size of Albany could be a hot spot in Georgia because a lot of people went to the same funeral, that lets you know how serious this disease is and how one person can take it, two people can take it, and they can spread one another so quick. And so if you have any type assembly of people, whether it be church or a band playing in some big hall somewhere or whatever, it's all the same thing when you're talking about this disease. You know, you gather a bunch of people, put them in one place, and all you need is one carrier. And he can pass it or she can pass it on to a lot of people. So those are the kind of things you've got to be real, 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 real careful.
Craig, if I could, let's talk to the chief, chief, and also to Sheriff Lewis. If the two of you could maybe help us understand some legal protocols. I realize that our governor said that churches are essential in nature and that we still are under the social distancing guidelines and things of that nature. But we do want to be good citizens, and we want to honor the law. We want to honor our law enforcement. And the last thing we want is our law enforcement officers having to spend time at churches policing when they need things much more important. So could, Chief, maybe you speak to the idea of what that looks like, what your recommendations would be to churches. And Sheriff, when he's finished, maybe you could follow up with the same thing for the different areas. And so we're just trying to understand how we can be good citizens, fall within the guidelines, and how we could best communicate with you as our law enforcement officers to make sure that we're part of the team and not part of the problem. Yeah. So, Chief, could you speak to that, please?
Sure. And I'll say the same thing everybody else has said, and that is thank you for allowing us to be a part of this conversation. Part of it's a legal question, right? We've touched on that. Churches are allowed to gather under the governor's ordinance. You have your attorney, your legal advisor, Curtis, to kind of speak to a lot of those issues. So I think that the legal opportunity is there with the governor's order to meet. And then you get to, is it a good idea? And I think it is all about partnership. partnership, and I appreciate that we're able to be partners. And I just think the superordinate goal, of course, in the faith community, and ironically, this is no different, it's to save lives, right? And I think it's all about balance, and it's about doing this together. And when I think about, you talked about the two S's, safety and security, and now you've added sanitation. And when I go to a church and they say, hey, Chief, how can we become more safe? Well, one of the most basic fundamental recommendations that I make is that they have a conversation, which is what you're doing right now with your 120 churches or however many people are participating in this conversation. A big first step is having that conversation. And I think a big part of that is having somebody who's in charge of that. That sounds like such a simple concept, but a lot of churches, synagogues, mosques, the first thing is to have a person in charge of safety and security. So I would recommend somebody being in charge of communication. And similarly, that means developing protocols. It means training. It means placing equipment in place, masks, gloves, who's got certain roles, who's kind of like the overall overseer of that, checking on each other, having ushers and different people throughout the building. So as you begin to grow into this, you actually have to have a plan. And that's what I hear you kind of beginning to do. And I think that's really critical to getting to a better place, because it's not just going to happen by itself, right? With safety and security, somebody actually has to maybe think about cameras or what doors should be open and closed during the services. If there's a suspicious situation, who do you call? What do you report? Who do you report it to? How do you follow up on it? If there's information, who do you share it with? I think sanitation is no different, because lives are at stake, yeah, right? If there's somebody who has a compromised health and they're exposed to this virus, they can die. We know that. That's a fact. We also know that we're not through this yet. So as you create these dashboards, as you described it, these matrix, I think, what is the threat level, right? Some churches are probably much bigger and easier to have big distancing. Some are very, very small and tight quarters and not so easy. Are there things that you could do? And I tell you, I learned a lot from my counterparts in NYPD. They were on the front lines of this whole thing. I've been talking to them weekly. And unfortunately, they've been learning the hard way. We've been able to benefit from their very difficult experiences. I'm sure you have the same thing with other pastors around the country. I've talked to other chiefs and listened to briefings from the West Coast and from Washington, where they had 35 deaths in one nursing home where a lot of this stuff started. We were able to benefit from that. So having those conversations among your staff, having online services, maybe for those people that have the underlying conditions, other health conditions and challenges, having in-person for those that want to come in under a certain pre-described set of rules and conditions. If you want to come in person, here's the expectations. It's no longer going to be the same as it was before. Here's our rules, and you know what that is from DHEC and CDC, and I don't think you necessarily want to get in the weeds on that, but there's been a lot of research, a lot of lessons learned. It's been very iterative. We have a protocol for taking temperatures. You could have everybody have a temperature check at the door. Just like security, there's a continuum. You can be like Israel, where, you know, you have physical barriers and cameras and all kinds of things and armed people, or, you know, something just where somebody's in the parking lot, you know, paying attention to things. And it really doesn't have to have a lot of cost attached to it, I don't believe. But I think that for those that might want to step into this, having in-person services, it would be a slow process. And if you had something this weekend, for example, you would say ahead of time, here's the expectations. If you're even remotely not sure, you should not come to services. And if we're going to have services, here's the limitations. We're going to have 20% of the normal capacity that we would have. So know that if you shouldn't be here, or you're with somebody, or you have a family member who shouldn't be exposed to other people, do not come in, please. We're welcoming those people that are healthy, and here's the pre-described conditions, and there's many of them. where people would have underlying conditions or be threatened by this, or they have family members. And so I think Bible studies, all kinds of things can be done online where people can get served in both ways. I do believe that, it's inevitable that we're going to be stepping into opening things back up. So I thank you for having this conversation, for allowing us to be part of it. As the mayor said, we're already looking at sporting events. When are we going to open up the River Dogs? Are we going to have the bridge run that's been rescheduled for August 1st? If we have it, what does that look like? Even though it's going to be a fraction of the number of people, if we have 8 or 10,000 people, that's still a lot of people to have in close contact. What does that look like? And so as we have those discussions about the parks and other things, I'm available. My staff will be available to meet with you in greater detail. But I think each individual pastor, just like with security, I love your analogy, really has ownership for this. And there's risks, there's liabilities to opening up. In some ways, those could be much greater than in other buildings and facilities. And I think whoever is kind of running that particular location has to consider all the specifics associated with opening up, all the risks associated with that. And I think they have to be very careful. And we certainly would be more than interested in helping anybody.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I took so much time, Blaine.
That's great.
No, sir, very informative. We appreciate that. Sheriff Lewis, we'd like to hear from you and how you can see that apply. Of course, the chief is more in an urban setting, and you deal both with some city setting we get, but also a lot of the rural setting. So we're hoping maybe you can help us understand how that would look, maybe from your perspective as well, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Luther pretty much stole my show. No, he and I work very closely together, as I think most people know. We do have a little bit different scenario here because we half of the county is predominantly rural, and we have a lot of churches in our county, especially in the northern and western part of the county. What I would take away from all of this, I agree with everything that's been said by the mayors and everyone that's come together for this reason, and I really applaud you for it, and I think it's necessary. But I think Luther might have touched on this a little bit. I think putting a lot of people together is troublesome. I think it's dangerous. I think the mayor touched on it about, we've learned from funerals and church gatherings where a major area has caused us concern and has caused widespread sickness in people from just those two type of gatherings. And so I don't see that we're out of the woods. We're trying to be very mindful of people's constitutional rights and liberties. And, we don't want to infringe on any of that. But I would say organization within your respective churches, communication and information to those attendees and your parishioners is most important. Organization to slowly get people back in. I think it's very important that even the smallest congregation have someone, like Luther said, in charge that can guide people through the safety cautions, because people are coming looking for things to be normal again. They want things to be like they were. Yeah. And so it's going to take folks a while to understand that that's probably not going to be the case. Mm. And so I would just say the thing, organize, provide the people the information they need. Our senior citizens and folks with underlying health issues should not come to a church. I just think it's too dangerous. And so I would say to you, take that mantle and go and make sure all of the churches understand that and have that information, not to offend anyone, keep them from worshiping, but there's other avenues for that now. And again, people are just trying to get used to things being different. We spend a lot of time, deputies, communicating with people, trying to get them to understand what has transpired and what direction we're heading in and where this has taken us. And things are not going to be the same for a long time. And so part of it is really just getting out there and talking to your members and getting the word about what's expected at each church.
Thank you, Sheriff. That's such good information from all of you to consider. One of the things that we've been giving counsel, Richard and I both, to churches is that you remember back at Easter Sunday when we couldn't gather, that was such an interesting experience not to be able to gather on Easter Sunday. Many churches wanted to do what they called the drive-in service, where they could drive their car to the parking lot of the church through an FM transmitter, receive the message. And some of our churches have been doing that every Sunday for the past few weeks. The advice that we've been giving them, and not just for an application like that, but for really anything, is call your local law enforcement and let them know or ask them, here's what I'd like to do. Is this permissible under the current guidelines? And number two, would you advocate for this for us? In other words, we don't want any surprises like we saw out there, I think it was in Texas, where there was a police that came to a drive-in service and they handed out citations. I forget which state if I got it wrong. But there's that aspect of having a good communication. So we're continuing to help our churches not bombard our police offices with phone calls about every little thing, but at least to begin to say, I want you to be aware of what our next steps are so that you have information and that you can speak back into it. And so that's one way we felt like it would be good for the left hand and the right hand to know what's going on and how to communicate. And so I appreciate the way you both have said, hey, we're accessible, we want to be available however we can. Curtis, let me ask you a question as we transition here to the liability side of things. One question I've heard from some leaders is, so what if we gather again and we all of a sudden have this issue of contagious that happens and someone dies? Is it potential for our church to be sued for wrongful death because we opened too soon? That's one scenario that someone put in front of me. And I know in the practice of law, there's 1,000 scenarios that you have to deal with. But from the standpoint of going too soon from zero, say, to 300, you know, no one in the building, now 300 in the building, if there's that kind of acceleration, which we don't advise at all, we're all saying that is not the path to walk on. It's not safe, nor is it right now allowed based on the restrictions that are given, unless you can really spread out and keep all those protocols in place. But I'd love for you to speak to a little bit about helping our churches think through what are the ramifications to just think, well, I've got all this freedom, but there's liability in that as well. So help us think through that a little bit as well. Speak to that.
Yeah. And Craig, let me say that for all the things that have changed in our world and all the new dimensions that COVID brings to it, this is one area that really has been fairly static because churches have dealt with this issue in one form or another for many years. And the truth is, when you boil it all down, that churches have extensive immunities that are not afforded other organizations. That doesn't mean they're completely immune, but they do have certain types of immunities. They also typically deal with people that are exercising their own free will. So we have this element that lawyers call consent. And then finally, when it comes to these pathological type cases, they're very difficult to prove. Did the person pick up a coronavirus at church, or did they pick it up as they stopped for gasoline on the way to church, or as they drove to Hardee's, you know, after church? And all those things would make a case like this very difficult. So when we're talking about adults coming together of their own consent, I really think the risk is probably pretty low. Now, the way you framed the question was, could we be sued? And as you and everyone knows, we live in a world where everyone can be sued, regardless of merit. And I will say that my counsel to ministries is not to win lawsuits. My counsel to ministries is to avoid them. And so we can better apply ourselves to those things that are most important in our lives. We can better apply ourselves to those things that are eternal and that are lasting. And so I believe that it would be prudent for a ministry to ensure, one, that people had given their consent, their informed consent. We're going to meet, this is the scenario in which we're going to do it. In other words, we're going to separate ourselves or not. I think it would be important to communicate those things clearly. And then the church still has a responsibility to act prudently, those common kind of sanitation measures that one would anticipate. But all that being said, ministries today are far more complex than the ministries we read about in the book of Acts. Now we've got daycares, and we've got elder ministries, and we've got youth ministries and women's ministries and ministries to expectant mothers. And as we layer those kinds of things, the measures that are prudent for us to take also become layered and a bit more complicated. However, a church that has taken, has been proactive and has developed good policies already should find dealing with COVID just another step in the process. Let me give you an example. All churches, all of our churches, should have child protection policies. And part of those policies should address how we're dealing with things like, let's say, bloodborne pathogens. So if a child is hurt, how we're going to handle being around bodily fluids. And if we have done a good job in developing child protection policies, then this is just another layer in those child protection policies. So if we have consent from the parents, and then we act reasonably prudent, I really believe our churches can operate for most of their functions fairly safely. Now, that threat becomes heightened if we have, let's say, a daycare. I had a church call me and tell me that they were going to reopen their daycare a couple of weeks ago. Strongly caution them against it. And if a church is going to be aggressive in that fashion, and I would discourage it, but if they're going to be, they need to ensure that they have informed consent documents from those parents. They need to make sure that they have taken appropriate screening measures so that if a child is ill, and I've heard discussion about temperatures being taken and those kinds of things. And I think they also need to be very thorough in what their protective policies are going to be. And I would advise that they make those policies known to the parents of those children so they truly can have informed consent. You know, this is how we're going to function. This is how we're going to operate. And I don't say those things to encourage it, but I think they're illustrative of what our churches are going to need to do in the future. We need to make sure that we have good child protection policies that cover issues like sanitation. Mm. And we need to make sure that the parents are well informed of the risks that those children will be taking by participating in those activities. The same thing can apply to vulnerable adults. Churches have ministries to older people, let's say, or to people who are incapacitated mentally in other ways. And we need to be especially prudent in those settings. So can we function as ministry? Yes. Will there be risk? Yes. But if we act prudently and wisely, and we don't rush ourselves to meeting again, I think that we can manage all of those risks quite well. And let me say that we have drafted child protection policies for scores of churches and worked with many in those. And we would make ourselves available. I've taken a lot of calls, I think probably from some of the 140 or so churches represented by the association. And we're happy to do that, especially in times where people have a lot of new things going on. So
that's helpful. Mayor?
Reverend Tuck, I apologize, particularly since I was a few minutes late getting here, but I got to run to at 3 yep. o'clock. Could I ask you to bless us with a little prayer before I head off?
Would love to, and I appreciate that so much, Mayor. And thank you again for making yourselves available beyond this call as well, just with information and access to your offices. I appreciate Mr. Mike Wack being on this call, assistant to the mayor, and he's been such a great friend and liaison to churches there in the city of Charleston. And so, mayors, police chief, sheriff, we thank you. Attorney Bostic, thank you so much for your time today. I believe this is so helpful. So let me close this in prayer and give thanks for this time. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you that it's a blessing to be able to bow my head with these men and their, Lord, their respective places that you've placed them in. As your word says, Lord, that you have put them in a place as ministers of good for us and for citizens that follow, citizens that are eager to follow, submit, and also, Lord, to be cooperative in every way. That makes us together, Lord, a unified place, a unified region. So I pray that as churches, law offices, as police offices, as civic offices, God, that you would go before us, that we would act responsibly, but that there also be in a reasonableness about us, that we'd be reasonable in all things that we do, as your word says, to let our reasonableness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. So thank you for these good words, this advice, this counsel. Give us wisdom in the moment where it's gray, where we need to make decisions. Help us to operate out of principle, and help us to also apply our hearts to wisdom. So thank you for this time, and we give you thanks for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you all for being a part of this today.